Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I just said that out loud.
That is now official, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am John R. Bray.
And I am Heather B. Armstrong.
Happy New Year, everyone. We took a little time off there. 1 week.
1 week. Wow, dude. Wow, did I take some time off.
You did take some time off.
We've talked about this, but, and I know that you may experience this too, but when I am not in my home and I don't have my dog and I don't have my kids, I can sleep like a motherfucker. Like,
oh, yeah.
14 hours a night straight.
Holy shit.
And even then, I was like, oh, I
that's really intense.
Yeah. Like, my body was like, oh my God, I have a week to recover from the last year. 14 hours a night.
Holy shit. Okay. If you never had to wake up and do school prep and all of that, could you sleep 14 hours a night every night? Like, are you one of those people that can just sleep?
I used to be.
Or is it because you're so behind?
What it is, but so when I got home, I did not have my kids, but I'm in my house and I have my dog and I have a million things to get done. So I barely slept maybe 6 hours that first night, and it was a fitful 6 hours. There's right. just too much on my brain. I wouldn't be able to sleep that long now. Just removing me from the environment made it so that I could relax. And my body was just like, okay, we're just going to shut down.
You go into like hibernation mode, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, it's good you had that.
It's good. It is. And
kind of. Although now you know what it's like. You know how it feels. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That part sucks. But removing from the environment, you were in.
I was in New Orleans. Yes, I went to New Orleans. I was supposed to have gone to Iceland, but plans changed.
It's a little different in New Orleans.
It's a little different. Although yeah. I will say this, and I know that where you were, it was like -4 degrees, right?
Oh, at least -12 sometimes, yeah. Without the wind.
Were you close to water?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm probably 40 miles from the lake. But yeah, I mean, I think the worst day it was -10 or -12 Fahrenheit. And for those of you listening that use Celsius, that's just fucking cold. That's how it converts.
Oh, God. It was so cold in New Orleans. It was so cold. It was just, yeah, I forgot what a southern cold, what it's like. It's a wet cold.
Right. You posted somewhere about the humidity, and that is a totally different
thing. Yeah, and where I, like, the house is down there, you know, all of the pipes are underneath the house. And there's no insulation. So the cold was just rising through the boards and the floor. It was just cold everywhere. It was just freezing. And I was like, but I came to the South. Why is it doing this?
Right. I mean, it's all relative. I mean, 40 degrees can feel really cold if you're not in a space that's meant to hold it. And people forget that, I think, a lot. Even, you know, when like London will get a heat wave in the summer and it's 85 or 90. And people in LA are really not impressed because that's not that warm. But it's really warm when the buildings aren't meant to deal with those temperatures.
Right.
Just like in New Orleans, it's not insulated appropriately.
Well, in the climate, like an 80 degrees in LA is different than an 80 degrees in Memphis, Tennessee. It's just, you right. know, it's hot in LA, but 80 degrees in Memphis is oppressive.
Oh, yeah. Really depends where you are.
Yeah. So I had plans to walk around and see a lot more than I did, but it was too cold. I did not pack the right clothing. I mean, I looked at the temperature. This is how stupid I was. I looked at the temperature that was going to be when I was there, and it was like, oh, in the, you know, low 30s, low 40s. Well, that was wrong. It was in the 20s, and then it was just freezing.
Right. In the 20s, poor insulation and the humidity. Yeah. Little did everyone know, MRS has become a weather podcast. In the new year, we hope you enjoy.
I do follow a few meteorologists on Twitter, and someone posted this heat map of the world while I was in New Orleans. And I guess, was it the day after? I think it was either New Year's Day or the day after New Year's Day. There was a place in Hawaii and a place in Florida that both reached freezing temperatures. So somewhere in every 50 states, there was a freezing temperature, below freezing.
Yeah.
And they posted this heat map, and basically the entire rest of the world was like heat, and we were below freezing, like the United States.
So obviously global warming is not a thing because everything was cold.
Or God is trying to like freeze us off the earth.
Like at this point, he's just like
a blister. Like he's just trying to freeze it off.
Freeze him out. Oh God. Like a wart. Freeze it, scrape it off, start again.
We can address the elephant in the room if we want to a little bit.
You mean from your
from
Instagram,
my Instagram post? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Your Instagram post that did not include
me. Did not include you.
We'll just clear that up. So let's address that elephant who is a man.
Yeah.
I think the first question, since we've cleared it up that it was not me, is it the man that you spent time with in France? Because you did post a photo that kind of implied a French quality.
Oh, it was, you know, people really misunderstood that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Frenchman is a, it's a famous street in New Orleans. It's sort of the dividing line, I think I'm going to pronounce this right, between the French Quarter and the Marigny. And those are two.
Okay.
Do you know about New Orleans?
I do not. I've never been.
Okay. It's sort of the dividing line between these two parts of the area down there.
Like two significant neighborhoods?
Yes. Okay. Where there's tons of bars and food and constant music going on. Okay. We were there one night until almost 2 o'clock in the morning, and nobody was slowing down. We were buying hot dogs off the street. People were rapping, and there were jazz bands, you know, in every single bar, like really, really good jazz bands. And my God, it was crazy. But that was the street. And the streets down in New Orleans have that's how they mark the streets, especially down in the quarter, is they have the name of the street in those tiles on the concrete.
Okay.
I just wanted to get, okay.
So you just ran into like a random person.
Ran into a random person who was standing there next to me.
Just like, hey, can you take a photo? I like your shoes.
I did like his shoes.
I mean, you also mentioned a hot dog. So I feel like there's like two elephants in the room that we have to address. The man is probably most interesting.
Uh-huh. Hot dog.
You also ate a hot dog.
I ate a hot dog, yes.
And it was not a vegan hot dog.
No, it
wasn't. Or a vegetarian hot dog. No, it was like a straight up fucking hot dog.
I ate the shit out of all the food in New Orleans. I ate all of the food, all of it. I didn't have any restrictions. I was in New Orleans. I was like, fuck it. And it was all fucking good. It was
so
good.
Yeah, that sounds like a great decision.
It was, everything was good. Everything was savory. That hot dog off the street was like the best hot dog I've ever eaten in my life. It was that good at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, anytime I think you decide to get a hot dog at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're pretty much guaranteed it's going to be a damn good hot dog. It's kind of like that 3 a.m. pizza. Like it's just going to be good.
I ate Popeye's chicken.
Are you kidding? That one I did not expect.
We went through the drive. I've never been through to a Popeye's, and we went through the drive-through, and you can get like these different four-piece sets, and it comes with a buttermilk biscuit, and it comes with, you can get a side of red beans and rice, and a side of gravy and mashed potatoes. Oh my God, it was so good. Oh, man. Yeah.
Those are the kind of places that never interest me until someone takes me there. And then for those exact same reasons, I see the sides. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is awesome. That happened to me years ago at a Boston Market.
A Boston Market. Oh, my God.
Criticized it forever and then went in. And I'm like, this is fucking incredible.
You know what's even better is that I ate, you know, about half of the order that I got and then put it in the refrigerator and then came back later that day and munched on it. And it was still good.
Still just as good cold?
Still just as good cold. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first elephant. So you ate all of the food. So let's now go back for a moment. Because this, if we can take several steps back, this is a big step.
This is a big step.
Posting someone on your social media.
It's a big step. Let me take a big swig of my coffee. Hold on. I'm going to swig of my coffee. Hold on.
We're all just waiting. Bated breath here.
Yeah. So when was it? Like in 2014, when I was dating Matt, there was a question in my community section, the community section of my website, and it was directed at me from someone basically saying, what does a blog author owe its audience?
And this was a genuine, like a kind question.
No, I did not. I don't think that the intention of it was kind. Some of the answers were very unkind. Some of them were really, you know, kind, but I think people were upset that I wasn't talking more about who I was dating and who I was seeing and who I was spending time with. And there was a good reason why I wasn't talking about him, because I had lived through a public divorce. I would not wish that hell on anybody. I had decided at that point, after having my, you know, divorce dissected by the New York Times and by the local newspaper, that I didn't want to talk about my romantic relationships on my website or on any of my platforms.
Which is really your choice. And if I may, I don't think you owe anyone a damn thing as a blog author, honestly.
And well, I think like the reason that I posted, I would post a picture or two here and there of Matt, because I wanted people to know, like I was seeing someone, I was happy with him. These people had been along for the ride for many years, and I wanted to let them know that this was happening. I didn't want to go into any further detail, but it was like, hey, you guys, this is a thing. That's what I thought that I owed them, was this is happening. But I'm going to keep the details to myself. That's sort of how I don't think I've posted about anybody else that I've dated since then.
I don't think so. Not that I've seen. Uh-uh. I mean, nothing.
No. But this is kind of serious.
But you've also not really shown him.
Nope, I have not.
And
really
also
shown
not
him.
Tagged him.
I have not tagged him. No, I don't.
So,
intend
and is
to.
That the plan? To kind of just
I'm
keep
sort
it
sort of like. I'm sort of like I'm just gonna feel it out. I think right now I just wanted, you know, Instagram and Facebook, or I treat Instagram as my scrapbook, and I print out all of my Instagram photos into hard copies, and I have like all my entire Instagram account I have in my office.
How often do you print it? Like monthly?
Like every 2 or 3 months, okay. I have them all printed. I have little Instagram photos all over the house of the kids and my trips to across the world. I'm documenting the fact that I am in a relationship. I just said that out loud.
you that is now official. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And you know it's good because he took you to Popeyes. So.
Yeah. He cooks. Yeah.
I did. I saw that too. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he took me to get beignets. Yeah, it was it's a pretty serious deal. Serious enough that I would post about him publicly. So
I'm mostly wondering how many people were frantically searching New Orleans geotags looking for his shoes or pants or shirt or something that could possibly maybe be the person that you were with, because you know there were people doing that.
I'm sure that it's being dissected in forums and people are frantically guessing and doing legwork and, you know, they've probably found, you know, his DNA at this point.
But he knows. I mean, he knows the quote-unquote risk involved here. Yeah.
Yeah, and we had a long discussion about it, and he told me that I could do whatever I wanted to do, but I still want to keep it sort of, you know, it's the details are mine, but, you know, I want people to know that I'm happy.
That's positive news. That's a good start to the new year.
We didn't meet on Tinder. I'll tell you that. We didn't meet on Tinder.
You didn't meet on Tinder.
I did not meet him on Tinder. The Tinders and the Plenty of Fishes and the Match.coms and all that bullshit is hopefully a thing of the past.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that for some people, those sites are essentially a stepping stone that kind of gets you mentally in the place of dating and accepting the dating world.
The dating world.
So that even if you don't actually use them to find someone, they've kind of put you where you need to be.
Yeah.
I've been giving a lot of dating site pep talks because I have a friend who started using it. And it's great because I don't use them. But I still get to benefit from the insanity that exists there. And she will periodically just text me screenshots of these people.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I don't know what the pool of women is like, but I feel so bad for women who have to use those apps to find men because it's horrifying.
It's horrifying. I mean,
she sent me one of a guy without his shirt on and there's a squirrel on his shoulder. And I'm not making that shit up. Like, how could you ever think that that is an acceptable profile photo for a dating site? That's not acceptable for anywhere.
Did I tell you about that? I think I told you about the guy who had like 7 photos of himself posing, doing headstands, like a headstand on top of a mountain, a headstand on top of a wakeboard, a headstand, like weird, super weird, so weird that I had to show Lita and we laughed about it for hours.
That's so awesome. Well, I'm glad that that is behind you.
Yeah, it's I have a lot to look forward to, I think.
Yes. I think. Obviously, this wasn't like a New Year thing, but that's a hell of a way to start a new year.
It's it was. What was interesting is while I was there, he got really, really sick. I was there for 7 days because my kids were with John for 7 days. So I spent the whole time there and he got really, really, really sick. So for almost 2 days, we didn't leave his house and I helped make some soup and I took care of his dog. We watched a lot of Netflix. Somebody posted a comment on one of my pictures and it was on the picture of our feet next to the word Frenchman.
Okay.
And she said, "You're doing a huge disservice by posting the most boring photos of the greatest city in the US." And it's just like, first of all, who do you have to be to leave a comment like that on somebody's photo? I mean,
right.
That would never cross my mind to leave a comment like that somewhere.
Right. You could just maybe scroll past the photo and not like it and move on with life.
Yeah.
Acceptable. I read that photo and truthfully, I laughed and kept checking Instagram waiting for your response. I was so excited. I did. I saw it on the stories.
Okay.
And as soon as it popped up, I was like, oh, hell yes. This is awesome.
If you didn't see the story, I basically said to the person who told me that I was doing a disservice by posting the most boring photos of the greatest city in the U.S. First of all, you've never been to Duchesne, Utah. Second of all, I did not come to see a city. I came to see a person. And the assignment that you have given to me, you need to assign to someone else.
Right.
And I read that comment while he is vomiting in, you know, he's so sick. He had a horrible virus and we're stuck inside for 2 days. And I'm reading this comment like, this person that I've come to see is sick and I'm taking care of him and I'm in his house for 2 days and you're scolding me for not posting more pictures of New Orleans. That's what I wanted to say. I want to shake my head and be like, who does that?
Even if he hadn't been sick and you had been posting 3 times as many photos, it doesn't matter what you post. Like you're the one there. So if to you, beauty are those street signs in set in tile, then take photos of those and post them.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have been taking any number of photos. You don't even know. I mean, how do you capture the beauty? To me, that was pretty excellent. Those sort of street signs don't exist in a lot of places.
Exactly.
So that's pretty unique. But there's always something to pick apart if you try hard enough.
But to like, I just wouldn't ever sit. It goes back to this. Like, I would never be in the workplace and say to a guy, whoa, what you're wearing is so sexy. That would never cross my mind. I would never cross my mind to see somebody's Instagram photo of Salt Lake City and go, you're doing a huge disservice to this city by what you just posted.
It just takes a special, person with a different perspective.
With a different perspective, yeah.
I mean, I've scrolled through Instagram so many times and seen a photo and thought to myself, like, this is really nice. I would like to see the other angle. Like, or you just have some thought about the photo itself. But I don't like leave a comment and say, you really fucked up. Try again. Like, why? And we've talked about these things before, these comments and stuff. I just, even if nothing else, why would you want to take just even 10 seconds out of your day to tell someone they're doing something wrong when it doesn't benefit either person at all?
Yeah, it's just it's that little negativity that you're spreading. And I think that maybe she's trying to be, constructively critical. Maybe that's what she thought she was being, constructively critical. But I don't know.
That was not constructive, though.
No, and
it could have been like, this is an awesome photo. Have you taken any photos of the buildings? I think the architecture is beautiful. That would have been like a suggestive type comment. But
Normally, like when I get those, I ignore them. Like here comes that stupid thing again where I forget the word. I have conditioned myself to sort of ignore that stuff now. But then I think we've talked about Roxane Gay before. You know who she is, right?
Yes.
I follow her religiously on Twitter. She takes no shit from anyone. No one. And even if somebody says something horrible to her and they only have two followers, she will snap back at them in the most brilliant way, always. She snaps back all the time. And people have said to her what they said to me back in the day. They were like, why do you give attention to the negativity? And she's like, because I can. she's like, I don't have to deal with this bullshit. So I get to say what I want to say. And yeah. That comment, especially as I'm here with this person that I am in a relationship with and he's sick and he's hosting me in his home and we haven't left the house in 2 days. And it just hit me in that wrong way where it was like, you don't get to say that to me. Don't come in my living room and take a shit on my floor. Don't do it.
Not the rug, man.
Not the rug.
I don't know. I'm just lost.
You're just lost?
I mean, I respect the desire to address all of those comments. I mean, I know you ignore most of them. But it's just at a certain point, it's like, just fuck off. Mm-hmm. Why? I mean, it just goes back to that basic rule where if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Like, just don't.
Nope.
You are in a relationship.
I am in a relationship. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll just make that the title. Heather is in a relationship. Really, that's what we were getting to this whole time.
Yeah. I think, I don't remember how many episodes ago it was when I mentioned that Lita noticed that I was looking at my phone and it was causing my face to light up.
Oh, yeah. And people made comments about that.
Oh, did they?
Well, people made comments. I think that was the episode where everyone was saying that I let you off the hook.
Oh.
Because I didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
That was totally it. And because I think it was toward the end of the episode too.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, she yeah. noticed. She noticed immediately. She's like, what? Why are you looking at your phone like that? I can't hide anything from that kid. I cannot hide anything from that kid. So the children know about him.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yes, they do. They know about him and are very curious about him.
Positively curious, especially Marlo.
Yes.
That's
especially
awesome.
Especially Marlo.
That's awesome.
Lita really wants to see me happy. I think she wants to see me in a relationship. And this has actually brought her quite a bit of peace. Like, my mom doesn't have to be on Tinder anymore.
Oh, gosh.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're probably right. At the core, she wants you to be happy. And she knows that a part of that is the companionship piece.
Yeah. Like,
that's a really central piece to it.
She saw the happiness in my face when I would get a text from him, and like, it brought her so, like, it grounded her and it brought her so much peace. God, there's so much that I could talk about that I can't talk about.
Well, but let's be honest, you could, but you don't want to. And that's totally your choice.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, but you're choosing not to, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's totally fine.
We'll
you say, share what you want. That's what social media is. You share yeah. what you want to share. It's like it's a little window, and when you want, you just close the blinds. It's a done deal.
We'll say this. Like, there was a time when I was in a relationship that was hard. I wanted it to work, but I did. But ultimately, it wasn't going to work, and it was hard to try to make it work. And she witnessed just like, it wasn't pain that it was bringing me. It was bringing me just a lot of stress, and she saw that, and that I think that destabilized her a little bit, and I feel bad. I feel bad that she had to witness that. I think she's really desperate to see me happy and in a relationship with someone who loves me and someone that I love. Oh my God. I just said
that. Wow. This is a big episode now.
But she's so happy about this. She's thrilled about this. And Marlo won't stop talking about it. But yeah.
That's amazing though.
And
I think it's also interesting that she saw that other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, ultimately, even when you're with someone you really want to be with, someone who really wants to be with you, you're going to have to wade through some shit. Like, relationships, any relationship requires work at some points. There's stress and anxiety and all different emotions at some point. But the base emotion should not be stress.
Right.
Like, your resting state should be a place of joy and general happiness rather than constant stress.
Right, exactly. And I may be excusing myself, but I talked quite a bit with my mother about this, and she's like, Heather, you know, you're showing her how relationships work. You know, you're basically showing her that a relationship that's not supposed to work, this is what it looks like. And a relationship that works and that is good for you looks like this. Like I am, by example, she is watching this happen with me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll never prevent her from being in a relationship at some point that isn't going to work. But now she at least can take a moment and think back and be like, okay, this feels a lot like what I saw my mom go through. Maybe this isn't good.
Mm-hmm. Look back. Oh my God. She and I were talking about like high school sweethearts. Who were we talking about? She's like, nobody gets married, you know, to the person that they first date, do they? And I was like, well, actually, my sister met her husband when she was 13. And they started dating. They weren't allowed to go on single dates until she was 16.
But they
met when she was 13 and have been together since. And she will be 50 this year. Wait.
Holy shit.
She'll be 48.
But that's still, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That's like 35 years.
And then I said, look at me.
Different path.
Some people date quite a bit.
But that's good, though. I mean, I think it's good for her to see that there's no reason to think you have to date a lot, but there's no reason to think that if you do, you've done the wrong thing.
Right.
I mean, everyone has a different path. And I think if you can date two people and find the person you want to be with, then great. And if you need to date 30 people, then you date 30 people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think it, I mean, I'm sure some people would have a very different opinion, but I don't know. Do what you got to do for love,
which
you are in, just to remind everyone for a moment. So now that you've got that all lined up, which is pretty great. The hell else is left for 2018?
Oh, there's stuff coming. I can't talk about it just yet, but yeah, there's stuff happening.
So it's going to be a big year.
It's a busy year. It's a packed year. I've got to really hunker down here in the next few months and be very disciplined with my time. I've got a very strict schedule of like Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays are dedicated to one thing, and then like Tuesdays and Fridays are dedicated to a different thing. And I've got to be very, very, very strict about scheduling things because of that.
Isn't it weird though?
I have no trips planned. I did not make medallion status last year. I made silver medallion, but I did not make platinum medallion.
Disgraceful. God.
For the first time in 5 years. And I don't fucking care.
That has to feel kind of good.
Yeah. Like, well, when I showed up to the airport to go to New Orleans, I was like, oh God, oh, I hate this place. I hate this place. Yeah. And I realized, like, you know what? Not traveling as much is kind of good.
Yeah. And the one trip you just took was 100% for you.
Yeah.
It's not like you were going to speak somewhere and then also stay longer or go early or something. I mean, it was
exactly.
I mean, it's even different than when you were in Paris.
Yes.
Because the point of that was to work.
Right.
So this was 100% just for you.
This is 100% just for me. Yeah.
And well, for you and the person that you love, but it's just credit where credit is due here.
I even went and saw a basketball game.
Oh, God, I saw that. What the hell was up with that?
You had that reaction.
I thought I was
too.
Watching like the wrong story.
So many people commented on that story and were like, what the hell are you doing in a basketball game?
Seriously. I think more than you not doing the city justice, you owe everyone an explanation for that shit.
He's a huge fan of basketball. And this is the thing, is I could listen to him talk about basketball for hours. Oh my God, he knows everything. And then, well, see, here's the thing that people don't really know. I grew up in a sports family. Sports were always on at my house growing up. Basketball, football, like the sound of a football game is the sound of my childhood. And
so basically any sport that was in season was
on.
Okay.
So I know all of the rules. I know how everything works. I know what offsides is, you know. And my brother was super into, like, they had their favorite teams, and so I get sports. I get it. I haven't John Armstrong wasn't a sports fan, so we didn't watch a lot during our marriage. But yeah, he's really, really into basketball, and he knows everything about it. And I could sit and listen to him, like, what his knowledge about certain players and certain teams, and it's incredible. So we went and saw a Pelicans game,
and it was awesome.
It was so fun. Yeah, I mean, which was really interesting is that the Utah Jazz, it used to be New Orleans. It used to be the New Orleans Jazz.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So you took their team.
We need to give that team back.
He knows. Does he listen to MRS?
I think he's listened like once or twice. That's another thing about it is that he's like, he never ever really read my website. Like he's read my website once or twice.
Because he just wants to learn about you from you, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing, I think.
Yeah. Like he didn't, I don't think he had actually read a single page of my website before we met.
And then he went in and he only visited twice, but they were hours. Everything he could find, printed out, organized. That's, God, I still can't believe you went to a basketball game, though.
Why is that surprising to everybody? I don't understand.
I mean, I think just because for anyone who's followed your website or your social media channels, they know that you have never once posted anything about professional sports ever, except for maybe when the Cubs won the World Series. Like, that was probably it. I could be wrong, but pretty close.
I posted when, so Matt, you know, Matt was from Boston, and
right.
When the Red Sox won the World Series, I was very invested in that. And then the Patriots won the Super Bowl, like, towards the end of our relationship, and I was kind of invested in that, kind of.
In the relationship or the Super Bowl?
In the Super Bowl.
Okay. But those are different, though. I think even people who hate sports, they get invested in some degree in playoffs, World Series, Super Bowl, because it's like the game. But you weren't at like a playoffs game. You were just at a fucking basketball game.
Yeah, he wanted to take me to a basketball game.
It's awesome. I'm totally not criticizing it. It just threw me. Like, it was crazy.
I know. And so this is my problem with sports, though. So the Saints, the New Orleans Saints, did they win? They did. On Sunday, they won. So the New Orleans have a shot at potentially going to the Super Bowl this year. And okay. They played a game, I think it was Christmas Eve. And they needed to win, but they didn't have to win because another team lost playing a different game. It's hard to explain. But we watched the Saints game. And the problem is that I get really, 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 really invested and stressed. And I wince. I like visibly like wince and recoil when like they drop the ball or there's an interception or, you know, I get
No, I get it. I get every single time I watch a game, which is rare, I get into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a thing. And I don't even need to know anything about either team up until that exact moment.
Yeah.
But suddenly it matters deeply to me.
Right?
It's really weird.
It's really weird. And it caught, like, they lost that game on Christmas Eve, and it was so close. And I like it when it was over, I felt like I had run like 13 miles. It was just so emotionally exhausting.
Well, it does make you kind of understand when people say something like, we lost or we won. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes you get why they use we. Like, mm-hmm. You do get really attached and really invested.
Yeah, he was surprised, like when we were talking early on, the Utah Jazz played against Chicago in the finals.
Okay.
And this is back in like 97. They had a shot. They were doing really well against Chicago. No one thought they had a chance. And they were playing in Salt Lake. And okay. Michael Jordan came down with the flu. And everybody in town was just like, this is awesome. Like, Michael Jordan has the flu. We're totally going to fucking win this game. And they go to play that night. And he scored over 30 points.
Oh, God.
With the flu. And I was talking to him about it. And he's like, you remember that? I'm like, of course I remember that. He was like really shocked that I knew this part of his, of basketball history. Yeah.
I don't remember that. I was not living in Chicago at the time. I was 13, so definitely wasn't really following Chicago sports from Michigan.
Oh, my God. Oh, do you remember seeing Michael Jordan play?
No. I came from a family that was not at all interested in sports. So, I mean, I have family in the Chicago area, so I knew what was happening, but no.
I mean, I grew up watching Michael Jordan play.
I think, I mean,
Michael
everyone,
Jordan, Scottie Pippen, all those guys. Like, I grew up watching, you know, professional basketball.
Yeah. And, well, that particular period was such a big time, though, for it.
Well, yeah. But, like, that's why it's not, for me, it's not surprising that I would go to a game. Just because it was so much a part of my, I mean, you have to understand, my sister's family, I think we talked about this, they all dress in blue for BYU. They go to every fucking BYU football game that's played here. They've gone to the bowl games that BYU go to. They go to the basketball games. Like, they watch every game. Like, it's a family thing. It is their identity, is BYU sports. It's just my family is, that's what I come from.
Well, I think knowing that, like knowing that background, then it makes more sense. But to not know that, did not expect to see it in your Instagram stories.
Somebody commented and like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, that was kind of out of nowhere. But those are just the kind of things that you do for love. that's what it all comes down to. I have to up my 2018 game. This is disastrous.
No, it's not disastrous. No.
I'm drinking green smoothies. That's like my only fucking accomplishment so far. And that's not even an accomplishment.
No, I made my bed this morning.
That's an accomplishment.
So we were going to originally talk about this. Like, yesterday was the first day back at school for my kids. How long has Lexton been back at school?
Oh, no. Yesterday was his first day back, too.
So yesterday was like the re-entry. Like, yesterday was it. Like, it was like, here we go.
And they were totally ready and excited?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Lita, the night before, just looked at me and she was like, I just don't want to do it, Mom. I just don't want to do it. And I'm like, I know, I don't want to do it either. Like, God.
That's how Lexton was. Honestly, it was like, it was great because it was sort of deadpan and really matter of fact.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, it's just that I really hate it, so I don't want to do it. I'm like, okay, well, that's a valid reason. Sure. I don't really know how to respond to that. And I don't know how they do it. I mean, I know that we did it, but to have like 2 weeks off and then a summer off and then just go back, like, that sucks. That's a rough reentry anyway.
Yeah, like she got a 2 week break from 8th grade boys is what she got. And now she has to go back and be around 8th grade boys. And it's just like, ugh.
Ugh. Well, as the parent to an 8th grade boy, I feel for her. I mean, they're really good individually. It's when they get in groups. Mm-hmm. It's like that saying, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large numbers. Mm-hmm. It's that. Like, in one-on-one, totally fine. She just needs to meet that one boy, not that boy, but that one boy that's like a friend who can let her see that not all 8th grade boys are garbage. Most of them. But not all of them.
She needs to meet Lexton.
See? That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, but this is the thing again. Lita is more mature than most 20-year-old woman. She's so mature. She's just so, she's an old soul. She can hang with me and my friends and keep up and actually like take a step ahead of us.
So she's a little bit like Rory, loosely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
It's all making sense.
There was an episode last night, really quickly.
What season? What season are you in?
We're in the second season towards the very end.
Okay.
And Lorelai just graduated from the classes that she took at college.
Right.
And Rory misses the graduation.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that episode?
I do remember. I mean, I've heard about it.
Okay.
I totally know that episode.
You saw that episode because she went to New York to meet up with the dude. And
that's right.
So at the end of the episode, you know, Lorelai gets home and Rory's standing there and Rory's just apologizing. And Lorelai is just like, no, let's go inside or let's go get something to eat. I forgot what she did. But when it was over, she looked at me and she's like, she didn't get in trouble? Lorelai didn't get mad at her? Like, what? I said, yeah. If you had done that, man, you'd have been in so much shit.
But there is something to be, like, the fact that she didn't get in trouble made it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes not getting in trouble, not getting punished, not getting yelled at makes you feel even smaller.
You have to deal, like, with the idea of what you just did.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But we're back into the swing of the year.
I don't know. I don't know. We're still swinging.
I'm trying to be moderate in what I'm doing in life. I'm seeking out moderation, and I am cautiously optimistic about this year. And I'm taking it day by day by day. Like, I'm not going to come out going, 2018 is going to be the best year ever. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to make 2016. I'm going to make it work.
2018.
Oh my God.
You're like 2 years behind. Let's throw back now. You totally skipped 2017 and went right back to a really shitty year.
The worst year of the life. Oh my God. Okay. 2016 was by far the worst year of my life. Oh my God. Okay.
I think though, taking 2018 day by day and being cautiously optimistic, and I'm saying this as a pessimist, is smart. And I think the day-to-day approach is smart because then it also allows you to have shitty days.
Yes.
Without them destroying the year. Because you're able to say, okay, well, today was shit, but the last 10 have been great. So all in all, it weighs out.
Like, on Friday, my kids were here, but I was like running around getting so much done. Like, there's so much that has to get done for school, for, you know what I'm talking about, just organization. Oh, yeah. Like, I have to change out all of my organizational materials in my office to now 2018 folders and I have to file away all the 2017 stuff, and there's accounting work and all the stuff that I was like frantically getting done on Friday. And I woke up on Saturday and was just like, I don't want to move, but I should. And then I was like, you know what? It's okay to take a break. It is okay to take a break, Heather. And so I did. I sat and I read for a few hours. So.
And it felt awesome.
Yeah. And that's what I am going to allow myself this year is moderation, Heather. Moderation. Remember, moderation is when you feel the best.
Well, growing up, and I'm sure that my mom took this from somewhere, it's some famous quote, and I've just never taken the time to look it up, but she always used to say, everything in moderation, even moderation. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I think it's perfect for everything. Like, mm-hmm. You need to practice moderation most of the time, but sometimes you don't. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's just a good practical idea to live by.
Yeah.
For a good year ahead.
In
love. 2018 is the year of love.
The year of love. Yeah.
Yeah. So 16 was shit, 17 was recovery, and 18 is love. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. And it's good for my kids. And yeah. Yeah, that's long.
let's just say it's good. All around, it's good. Things are trending upward.
Yeah.
Moderately. We'll stick with the idea of moderation. Moderately. Mm-hmm. You know, one day at a time. That will be our motto.
Da, 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 da.
Right. 2018, one day at a time. Yeah, I like that.
Oh God, I can't believe we did that. Okay. All right. Okay. It's there.
there were two elephants and we had to clear them both up. You eat
it's
meat
there.
And you are in love. To some people, the eating meat thing is probably a bigger deal, but you know what?
I eat meat in moderation, so we're just, right. Yeah.
Right. Everything in moderation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, we would love to hear how all of you have settled into 2018. We'd also love to field all your questions about Heather's love interest, because those are probably out there. Or meat questions. That's an option.
I can tell you where to get that great hot dog.
That's true. If you're looking for a good street hot dog in New Orleans, just happen to be there looking for one at 2 a.m., Heather knows what's up. So as always, you can reach us by email at stories@manicramblings.com, or you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Manic Ramblings.
And until next time, everything in moderation, even moderation. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.